back stretch, car side by side, three wide, headed into the checkers. Who's it gonna be? Now it's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's happening, boys and girls? Y'all know what time it is. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is on the airwaves. EG3, Eddie Greer III here with the guys tonight, August 30th, on this Thursday evening. One more day to the weekend. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is all about the latest in racing, Cable World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Big D in the house once again. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday night. Hey, one more day, man, until football / racing is in our lives once again on this Labor Day weekend. Actually, college football started last weekend, but officially tonight, Thursday night football is on the college football side. But 1 week, man, 1 week, NFL starts. Atlanta, Philly, man, I cannot wait for that matchup. And of course, we can't wait for the matchup on track. Throwback weekend is going to be going down this weekend in South Carolina, Darlington Raceway. The lady in black is alive and well, and she's going to come out and get you guys, folks. Packed preview show. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. And the back end of this podcast, I'm going to be talking about K-State football. More likely, focusing on the quarterback issue that Alabama's having. But we've been having that for quite some time. I'm saving that on the end of the show. But I want to start off tonight, Big D, with Noah Gregson and Todd Gilliland's situation. Kind of putting a bow to this whole situation. I listened to NASCAR America podcast, the episodes this week. Parker Kligerman, Jeff Burton, and Landon Cass were chit-chatting. And this, what really irked me this week about this whole situation is basically being nice to one another. Are you kidding me? Todd Gilliland, they're saying that Todd Gilliland should have made more room, or in his press conference, Todd Gilliland said that he should have moved up a little bit to let Noah Gregson in. Are you serious? I mean, this is for the win, possibly. Not only that, but they have a plan in store that you want to get moved up the fastest way you can. William Byron is a perfect example of that. You know, he won a bunch in the Truck Series and maybe should have won a championship in the Truck Series, if not for an engine failure. And it goes up to Xfinity last year, wins a few races, got hot in the summer, and then wins the championship. Didn't win the race at Homestead. He won a championship based on being the fastest four guys there, finish ahead, and you know, he's a perfect example that he won a bunch of races there. And in here, obviously, you know, he's having his struggles here, but has run a lot better in the last few races, more notably putting down top tens at Pocono and Watkins Glen for Byron. And then, you know, these guys talking about, you know, that's one thing. You want to win to move up, that's for sure. But Todd Gilliland, the last several weeks, you know, he's had an opportunity not only to win, but to run well. Obviously, you know, Bristol had an opportunity to do that. Michigan had a lead late before getting run down by Sauter at MIS. And, of course, Canada last weekend, you know, he said he had the fastest truck there. Even though Noah Gregson looked like, to me, had another dominating truck, winning both of those stages. But Gilliland passed Sauter late. But not take away from Ty Gilliland. Ty Gilliland started mid-pack and was passing trucks. Got himself in that position, was set up. The old, here we go again, Canada, last turn. Here we go with the crashing. We all expect it. And not only that, it's another thing that, if you're not teammates, that's one thing. But if you're teammates out of the same breed, same organization, Big D, you're talking about Noah Gregson going in there, and I said this in the post race, and I still go by what I said on Monday night. You know, Gillen held his line. There is no, why would you let open the door? He's going to have to earn every inch of that victory. And like I tweeted out on one of the tweets that I tweeted out earlier this week, also that and Mick said this also, he was not going to make that corner. Gregson was not going to make it. And with Gillen right there. Now, if Gillen was behind them, that's another thing. But Gillen was in prime position. If the caution doesn't come out for Justin Fontaine, Gillen wins that race. Because Gregson, he was trying to hold off Justin Haley at the time. And Jeff Burton, I don't know what he was looking at that time. Because Haley, he was up there all race long. He said Haley was struggling a little bit. I disagree with that. Haley was up there all race long, and rightfully so, in a perfect position, third, and with the history trend of that racetrack, Canadian Motorsport Tire Park, seeing the common denominator of what we've been seeing up there for the last six or something like that races, and including Chase Elliott putting away Ty Dillon to start that whole thing. And here you got teammates getting after one another. And I mentioned that Todd Gillen should have knocked out Noah Gregson in the face. Well, yeah, he should have kicked his ass. That's for damn sure. And I stand by what I said over there. And that just really irked me that you know, these guys, Parker and Landon, you know, Parker's been up there leading in Truck Series. And Landon Castle, I agree with parts of what he said, but I can disagree with some of what he said about opening the door. This is late in the game. You don't see football. You don't see defenses letting you score a touchdown. Are you Blake beeping me right now? These two guys are racing for the win, and they shouldn't be playing nice early in the race. I get that. You know, going over, letting it was. The common courtesy back in the 90s. You see guys like Mark Martin, especially, you know, letting guys by. You know, you're faster than me. Okay, I'm going to let you go for a little bit. I'm going to ride for a while. And now, we're in a generation now that we're going to try to take out people. And I'm right. Jeff Burton was right about one thing. You know, all these, you know, last lap wrecks and all this other stuff. You know, it might be exciting for the natural fan. You know, I definitely get that. You know, you want to see, you know, I honestly want to see, you know, without the wrecking, you know, these young guys going into sport, you know, trying to move up their way through the ranks. And, you know, this is, a short track, I could probably see that, but something like this on a road course, I just don't disagree. I disagree with the move, and Noah Gregson knows better, but I don't know what he was thinking at the time, especially given the Noah Gregson, where he's in right now, the playoffs, and, you know, this is one of the wild cards, like I've been saying over and over this 3-Wide podcast, and now, you not only that, and like I said before, tweeted out that he cost himself an opportunity for a second place finish. Not only that, he could have settled for it and rewarded Kyle Busch, the owner of this team, obviously, Kyle Busch Motorsports, a 1-2 awesome day in Canada and make history at that, having Todd Gillen win his first truck race. Well, Gregson had other ideas than that. He basically opened the door for Justin Haley to sneak right by and to grab that victory. And Haley, my dark horse to make the championship four in a truck series, is going to the round of six. Are you kidding me? If you would have told me that, I would have told you hell no. But Haley, his goal was to run good. He did more than that. He rewarded himself staying out of that mess. And for Gregson on the other side, well, it's a matter of what could have been, not only for a win, but for a win for the whole organization. Not only that, you're about to finish 1-2, because they're 1-2 prior to that final caution with Justin Fontaine in one of those turns. I can't remember when. It was last weekend. That's all I know. But Big D, I texted you this the other day, and yeah, that really pissed me off. I'm like, this is not football. You don't see defenses go by, let you score a touchdown. Baseball, you don't see got, you know, see pitcher, you know, throwing up a top, a 90 mile an hour fastball right down the plate for you to hit the game winner. You don't see that. You see guys have to earn their way to the victory. And this is the same thing in NASCAR, man. One-on-one, mano-a-mano. UFC, you don't see, you know, the opposition guy just standing there, get punched in the face. It takes a battle. That's what we want. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see Ole and this late have this big open. Ty Gillen did what he's supposed to do. Hold his line right there. There's nothing Ty Gillen and the leader could not do in that situation. But take the contact from Gregson, and obviously, you know, Gregson thought he could. Thought he can make it, and obviously 100% he did not make it, and y'all saw the result of that. Come on, man. We're in Thursday night now, and we're still I'm still talking about this, but I'm putting a bull on it tonight that the front two drivers, whatever sport it is, whatever division it is, whether it's the truck series or the Monster Energy. So you saw last year in the playoffs where Denny Hamlin took out Chase Elliott. We all know what happened there. Now, it's just they're not teammates at all. They're battling for an opportunity to go to the championship four, and that contact happened. So we all know the story of that. So they're not teammates. And then the next time around, we know what happened next week. Chase Elliott paid back on Denny Hamlin there, pretty much ended their chances at that also. So you want to play that game also. So, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, Ty Gillen should have kicked his ass. Noah Gregson asked for that move. And, you know, for Gregson, now the rewards for Haley are you're in the round of six. You don't have to worry about Talladega. For Gregson, yeah, you got to worry about Talladega still, because and not only that, you had the fastest truck, I'll probably say more than Gillen did, but Gillen put himself in the right position there. But unfortunately, he got taken out by his own stupid teammate. But the point of it is, Gregson, he has to worry about, unless he wins Las Vegas in a couple weeks, he has to go there knowing that you get one of these wrecks, and if you're in that position where in a precarious situation, you're maybe third in the points or maybe even fourth now, you get one of those wrecks, your chances are you could be done in the playoffs. So that could reap major consequences for this 18 truck, unless they win Vegas. Because for what I mean, Gregson, yeah, he could have won this race, but you don't want to see the wreck. You don't want to see contact, especially it has its effects, man. I mean, you can be a hero or you're going to be a villain. And pretty much, Gregson, you're the villain in this instance. And my final point about this whole conversation I heard in the NASCAR Mega Podcast earlier this week that I totally disagree with, you know, why are you going to give people room? I don't understand that aspect as a fan. Why are you going to give somebody room? Make them earn that win. That's what we want to see. We want to see hard racing, not equipment tore up especially for one. If you're within the same organization, you don't want to see that. But eventually, you know, the fans, they're used to seeing last lap crashes, and we saw another one last week. And Jeff Burton is right on this. I agree with him this, that there's better ways, you know, to try to win a race other than try to take a guy out, especially if it was his own teammate. That's a wrong way thing to do. We've seen it in the Xfinity Series. We've seen it in the Cup Series. Teammates take each other out, and you see the result. So I'm definitely interested going forward, Big D, that definitely interested to see where this goes, especially this comes at a really wrong time for Gregson, because I know Gregson was trying to win and advance himself. That's another thing, but you have a teammate up there late in the race, not only that, the last corner of the race, you want at best you want to try to get around with no contact, but in this instance you guys all saw what happened, and it ended with a not Kyle Busch Motorsport guy in victory lane. A GMS guy went to victory lane, and the result, Haley is going to the round of six. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast preview show, Darlington, Eddie Grader 30 with you guys this evening. getting you guys set up for Labor Day weekend. And before I dive in a little bit on Darlington, I want to touch, a lot of you should know by now. If you don't, if you're tuning in for the first time, you don't know, I'm a Martin Truex Jr. fan first, before Chase Elliott. So there's that. I've been a Truex fan for a few years now, all the way back to MTJ's days, late days at DEI. But I want to comment on the first row situation real quick before talking a little bit about Darlington, and then I'll get to K-State on the back end to wrap the podcast. But, okay, so I've been reading a lot this week. Obviously, Twitter has been heating up. The silly season's been in progress a little bit, but I've been coming across especially tweets from, I believe, Wreck. I can't remember. Is it Wreck and Racing or something like that? Tweeted something out, and there's been a source out there saying, all right, that I've been hearing a lot about this Truex, the 41 car for next year and all this other stuff. But until this one came up, the Truex go over to the 19. The 19 that's occupied right now by Daniel Suarez of Joe Gibbs Racing. I've been reading that, especially the last couple of days. And with silly season, you know, started at Michigan with all this talk about Kurt Busch leaving the 41 and going to the 1 by Jim Utter, who tweeted that out, and then McMurray, we don't know where he's going, all this other stuff. So, you know, after tonight, I'm not gonna comment on this again until we get the finalization of where Truex is going or staying. So that's my two cents on it. But okay, so yeah, that's the more I think about it, the more logical that makes sense for him to go to that team. Now, you know, I heard on one of the podcasts, I told you guys this, Big D, you're right there with me. I told you one of the podcasts said he wanted Denny Hamlin out of that race car, out of the 11 car. So, and Denny Hamlin's under contract, if I'm not mistaken. He just signed some extension either earlier this year or last year, something like that. So there is that progression. But Daniel Suarez, two races away from not making the playoffs, he made the guarantee at MIS or one of the tracks that I believe, no, Chicagoland, he made the bold prediction that they're going to make the playoffs. Well, you got two weeks to do that, and two marquee events to do that, the Southern 500 in the Brickyard next week at Indy. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. Like I said, I'm going to let all this, the puzzles, try to fit itself, and we'll have to see. I've been hearing a lot. First, it was this 41 car. Truex is going on over there. Now, I don't know why he'll go over there. I know the 41 is one of the good rides, but up until, I mean, that's been a consistent ride. Let's not get it wrong here. Twisted with Kurt Busch getting a win a couple weeks ago at Bristol, getting his first win of the season. Yeah, you got Kevin Harvick over there, and then he'll be reuniting with Clint Bowyer and Eric Almirola over there as well with a rejuvenated season for that 10 car. But, you know, going over here before Daniel Suarez, who was in this car? Yeah, that's right. Carl Edwards was in this car, and this car was winning races. This car was winning races left and right. And not saying, you know, Daniel Suarez, he's had a good share of runs now, and he's had opportunities to win Pocono, where he had two opportunities for a restart, didn't get it done against Kyle Busch. Why would he go Truex to Levine? That doesn't make any sense. He's been there and done that. I mean, first row was a one-car team after Kurt Busch left, and he's been through the ringer. Truex been through the downs, and now he's been there, done that, worked this team back in. Not only that, Furniture Row Racing has become the predominant contenders for the last several years, and it's very disappointing that we're even talking about this, that this team could very well shut it down, its doors, at the end of the season. That's just mind-blowing. I just cannot believe what could happen, but at the same time, we don't know anything other than all these rumors going around, and I don't know anything either. So after tonight, I'm not going to talk about Truex and his opportunity until everything's finalized and we'll go from there. There, but it's just for me on this, it makes the right sense because Frontier Racing is paired up with Joe Gibbs Racing right now. And if we're to shut it down, if they do decide to shut it down, he can go right there. You know, Joe Gibbs has a champion in Truex. Not only that, you know, you have employees that are going to be looking for work. So, yeah, you bring over Cole Pearn over with him. They have, obviously, awesome chemistry. You know that. So, that's if you go over to Ford, that don't make no sense. In my opinion, it doesn't make any sense for me to see Truex go over that 41. And I just having trouble seeing that. Now, whether it's happened or not, again, once again, Big D, I have no clue if it's going to happen or not. But again, a lot has been circling, especially last 2 days I've been reading up on it. And again, nobody said nothing. So it ain't coming out yet. Everybody's speculating, all this other stuff. And the more popular thing, at least until this week, that Truex is going over to the Stuart Haas 41 and driving a Ford. I don't know if I'm okay with that or not. Hey, this is just the fan in me talking. But again, it just makes the logical sense. I mean, you know, Levine has talked about going to Toyota, which is going to happen. Looks like it's 85%. It's going to happen. You know, Kasey Kahne, you know, saying that now I'm not going full time no more. It's going over. He's going to be going just doing a little bit of NASCAR racing now due to not having success. I've heard a little bit about that. About on a Dale Jr. download. I have not listened to the full episode yet. I heard bits and pieces. And he's saying that competition, you know, this is why he's not winning races and whatnot. And, you know, if he was winning races, you know, Hendrick Motorsports kind of did him in. Kasey Kahne, that did him in right there. And I can talk about Kasey Kahne for a minute, but I'm not going there tonight. We're staying on a on a Truex bandwagon here for a couple minutes. But again, man, I just can't see that. Now, if it does, then we'll talk about it once it goes down. But again, I'm not going to talk about it anymore because the playoffs are around the corner and this first row team's going to have to, this org's going to have to get it together here for the next 12 weeks and try to make another run to get to Miami. That's what they're focused on right now. But like I said earlier, a few weeks ago I said the deal needed to get done before the playoffs, and it looks like it probably will not be done before the playoffs, which adds another mystery to the puzzle too. So that's just a lot to handle for the defending champions for that. So that's another interesting plot twist to this whole thing. And Truex, the champion, he's proven that. And I don't see him going to Levine. I do not. And I do not see him going to 41 either. This is my opinion. This is my show. And I don't see that happening. And if, you know, if one or two things could happen. I talked to a dear friend earlier this week who's a Truex fan also, who helps out with the K-State Athletic Department. And he said he's probably the only person. He's probably the only person, Big D, say that Frontier Row is going to re-sign him. I haven't seen anybody else say that, maybe except a few of my Twitter friends, my Truex buddies, my Truex Nation fans out there. Shout out Truex Nation. Yep. But other than that, he's probably the only person that said Frontier Row Racing is going to re-sign him. So this is up in the air, that's for sure. And that would be a damn shame to see them shut it down. If they shut down, because they have become, this is what's been their path. They've been talking about it. Martin Truex been talking about it too. I mean, we have an opportunity to run for championships and all this. Well, they got one. And now you're talking about shutting the doors due to, again, that fatal word, sponsorship. I mean, we talked about this on this podcast in recent years, that sponsorship is a key for everything else, bring sponsorship dollars and all that. And then on top of that, somebody said during the switch, commented on my tweet today and said that they should switch up Adam Stevens for Cole Pearn from the 18. You're stupid. that pissed me off. What does Kyle Busch, Adam Stevens, they already got a nice rapport going on. And Kyle Busch, he got a championship and should have a couple more in the resume. to be honest with you, all those appearances in the championship four, Kyle Busch has only had one championship, so at least he got that, but he should have multiple. All this talk about Kyle Busch is the most talented racer, all these wins in all these divisions and only one championship, and with this format, you know, anything can happen. And yes, you know, Truex is in this position where he's trying to repeat. Yes, you know, it's going to be harder to repeat because you don't know what's going to happen and all this other blah, 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 blah stuff. But, you know, that, no, I don't see that. I don't see that either. So don't try to tell me that Adam Stevens needs to go over there. Mm-mm. He's fine where he is. And they sit on poles. They lead laps. They're winning races. It's evident, the big three. It's been evident this year, obviously. It's been evident for quite some time. Those guys, they know how to win races. Pern, Truex, they know how to win races. It makes sense. And if Suarez does not make the playoffs, Big D, you're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, then it just makes it a whole lot of interesting. You know, Denny Hamlin, he ain't won no races this year either. And a lot of people are pointing to him to win at Darlington Sunday night to repeat. You know, for Hamlin, you know, he's saying that we got the speed and all this for the last month and except for this execution. And, you know, the point well taken, because the 11 squad hasn't executed well enough. And I mentioned in this post-race pod this week that, you know, they're going to have to find a way to get it done. This 11 team, they ain't won nothing either. It's been Eric Jones went to Daytona, and it's been a Kyle Busch show this year. And he's right there, two races away from the regular season championship, which is adding on 15 more points. But Kevin Harvick, I looked at the deficit earlier this week. It's close, actually. The 43, that's within a race right there. So you're talking about Kyle Busch having a problem or something like that, either this week or next week, open the door for Kevin Harvick. which could possibly happen, you know, Darlington, she can get you now. But, you know, that combo is solid. Pern and Truex is solid. And you're talking about a team shutting down. These guys are going to be looking for work. These guys are not going to look for another team. Well, they're looking for another team, but, you know, these guys, you know, they're within the Joe Gibbs Racing stable. This makes the sense for, at least for me. I don't know for everybody else out there who's Truex fans, but, you know, or I know there are a lot of them out there. I know I have my share, but, you know, it makes a sense. You know, they're neighbors. They've been working together for the last, what, 3 or 4 years since, you know, Virtual Racing switched over from Chevy to Toyota. Look at what has done them. And Barney Visser, Joe Garrone, and those guys, they have followed the master plan to perfection. You know, they saw that driver win a championship last year. And now you're doing a near 180. Not only that, but it's been a weird year for them. But not only that, and now you're on the verge of, well, we're going to have to shut it down. And a couple weeks ago, Barney Visser said that we're racing next year. There's no doubt about it. We're going to race next year. And so I don't know what the hell is going to happen within these next few weeks. I really don't. So that's why I want to get it out kind of now, and then when the pieces fall, we'll definitely have the stories when everything falls for silly season, that's for sure. But I just want to get it out there before the playoffs start, that we'll have to see what happens there out in that end. So I mean, talks are definitely brewing about this 19, and it'll be interesting, man, because Carl Edwards was winning in this ride. Suarez, he's done a good job, but I don't know if he's doing a good enough job. He hasn't won a race yet. And, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing has, as the world knows, almost the best equipment. But Virtual Racing last year outdid Joe Gibbs Racing last year in route to the championship. So I can go on and on, Big D. But so much has yet to be solved about this crazy mystery about the 78 shutting these doors down. And you have a slight advantage in Denver, Colorado. Barney Visser is living a dream out there. You have the championship banner right now under your own roof, and you're talking about shutting it down. It's just crazy ass to talk about right now. So, but hey, man, you know, when this all solves itself out, we'll definitely be the first to know. Somebody's going to let me know for sure. That's for sure. And I'll definitely know. That's for sure, folks. So definitely one of the amazing mysteries about season. Truex is involved in that. Kurt Busch, McMurray, and then to solve it about this 95 situation, who's going to be going there? I don't see him going that 95. It doesn't make the sense to me. Why would you go back over there to a single car team? We have been through it all. all the ups and downs of that anyway. So I just don't see why. 3YEG3 rolls on. Darlington, folks, going down this weekend. Transition to the Labor Day weekend begins Saturday afternoon with the Darlington. And this doesn't make any sense either. You know, they should switch these because NBC doesn't have the Southern 500 this year. I talked about this on the post-race pod. Again, I've mentioned the post-race pod several times already, folks. You haven't listened to it, I definitely encourage you to do that. Post-race Canada from earlier this week with Mick Rose. Sports Clip Haircuts VFW 200 on Saturday. Coverage begins 2:30 Central Time, 3:30 Eastern Time on NBC. And NBCSN has the Southern 500. I don't know why. At least switch these two. Switch the NBC. Get the Southern 500. You're going to get more rating out of it than NBCSN. But that's just me. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But it's whatever. But NBC will have the Xfinity Series race. 147 laps are scheduled in this one. Of course, that's not counting the overtime. And of course, the Xfinity guys have their throwbacks as well. And since it is the 3-Wide podcast, yes, I'm going to pick out three of my favorites of the Xfinity and the Cup Series. So yeah, I'm going to keep the list short and sweet for you guys. And I'm going to start off actually with the throwbacks for the Xfinity Series before we get to the Cup. My three favorites, you know, Christopher Bell will drive the Ring Toyota for the number 20 for Joe Gibbs. And he has kind of an old school nice look that I like. I like that one. Ryan Reed, I like that one as well. Honoring Greg Biffle in the Cup Series and Nat 16 for Roush. And then my favorite one probably, and this probably is a homer one, and I'm rolling with Martin's brother, Ryan Truex, honoring brother Martin championship run from 04, I believe, in that Wrangler paint scheme. Well, bringing that back, and Ryan apparently lost out on, you know, Ryan's had a beard this year, like his brother also. He's worked that beard in pretty good, so that's nice, but he's going to have to get rid of it. And he's also honoring Martin's look, that sideburns and that chin hair. So, Big D, yeah, man. I was like, I saw that. That ride was looking sweet, man. Yellow and blue, and that looks really good, especially, obviously, with the Chevy. And there's more news around that. I cannot think of it right now, but more news on that team, that colleague racing team that's going to be making a second car for Austin Dillon next week at Indy. Well, more details on that next week, but at least for this week, Ryan Truex honoring Martin's championship run in 04 where he clinched the championship that year in the Xfinity Series. So Ryan doing a nice thing there, but he lost out. So now I'm definitely going to be tuning in for that one. So see what he looks like. But definitely excited. But yeah, that was my favorite one of all right there. Ryan Truex, colleague racing, busting out the old Martin look from DEI. Yellow and blue. Can't get any better than that, baby. So there's that. And my picks. Yes, my picks for this one. My pick to win this race, oh man, you know, Denny Hamlin's back in this race again in this 18 car. Looking down this list, Brad Keselowski in the 22, Chase Elliott back in the GMS 23 after his daddy was in it last week. And how about this? Ross Chastain, this 42 car this week, and it was clarified on Monday by Mick, my co-host, that Ross Chastain will run two more races after the Darlington one in this 42 car. It was signed with DC Solar being the sponsor of Ross Chastain. And hey man, well deserved for Ross to get this opportunity. He's done a hell of a job this year, especially in not so good equipment. But he's gotten to that point where he's in a position to make the Xfinity Series playoffs this year. And this is going to further enhance that with this 42. This 42 is a winnable car right here. That is for sure. And you know my winner is going to be, well, Allgaier won last week. So I'm going to have to roll with Christopher Bell. You know, even though these Cup guys, Hamlin going to be in here and all this other stuff, I got to roll with Christopher Bell's turn to try to get it done. Bell only sitting 5 back of the points right now in the regular season. You know, Allgaier and Bell really starting to separate themselves right now. Got Christopher Bell, mark him, Big D, for the Xfinity. And I just talked about this guy, the dark horse, Ross Chastain. Easy peasy, man. Ross Chastain, he has a huge opportunity. Not only that, but that's a top 5 car right there. Obviously by Kyle Larson, but Ross Chastain, we're going to really see what he's got, especially as good of a ride as that 42 car in the Xfinity Series. So there is my picks right there for the Xfinity Series. Folks, thank you for tuning in for the 3Wide Preview Show, Darlington, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast on this Thursday night. EG3 here with you guys tonight on this edition of the podcast. Switching over to the Cup Series, the King World Truck Series is off this week. And the Southern 500, which is going to be on NBCSN. I don't know. This really irks me. I don't know why. You know, it's a big time race. And when you look down to next week, too, it's also NBCSN. This is Indy. You're talking about two of the most historic racetracks in the circuit in the United States, probably, other than Daytona. You're talking about Darlington and Indianapolis being on NBCSN, taking a back burner. I just don't like it. I mean, you're not going to get as many viewers, in my opinion. They say you put this on national TV. NBC is going to watch the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. And the NBCSN is going to take one of the more prestigious races in all NASCAR, the Southern 500. The last few years, throwback weekend, all it's been awesome. But I just that's going to bother me for quite a while. But again, I'm going to be out of town. Me and the wife will be out of town this weekend. So maybe if I wanted to catch the last of this race up in Nebraska or something, I'm probably not going to be able to see this because of what the thing is located. But I will tell you this, though. But football starting this weekend. So either way, though, I'm going to be listening on the MRN radio network, which it is going to be on MRN. So how about that this weekend? NBCSN has coverage on the television. It's Bojangles Southern 500 going to go down. 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 Central, for those of you living in the central states of the America, Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, y'all know where it is, West Coast, y'all living out there, which we've been getting a lot of input from the West Coast. Y'all figure it out for yourselves, y'all know what it is, on the 3Watt NASCAR podcast, and the three teams that have been running very well since, and this is going back a little bit, I wrote this down, since 16, and team we've been talking about tonight, Virtual Racing, Future in Limbo, they've been the top got dogs, and last year, of course, Truex on the verge of going back-to-back, could not do it on a hard-charging Denny Hamlin, which, oh, by the way, Hamlin last year won the race, but the race was canceled out, or if you want to say that dreaded word, encumbered last year, that thrilling comfort-buying victory after going a lap down in that race in the Southern 500 last year. RCR, Austin Dillon already in the playoffs. Ryan Newman looking to get into the playoffs for a win. You can't punch your way in. I'm sick and tired of that. Scratch out points. You got to go out there and try to grab that win and do it. And Ryan Newman has won Indy before, but you're talking about Southern 500 in Indy. He's won at least at one of those. Ryan, he's got to go out there and win. You can't try to point your way in and try to be cute and all this other stuff. Y'all know what it is. These guys, Stenhouse, Menard, Suarez, these guys got to go out and win. You can't just try to point. The points are over at this point of the season. You cannot just tell me that these guys are going to try to point your way in. It's not going to happen unless Alex Bowman self-destructs the last 2 weeks of the regular season. I don't see that happening. They're going to have to earn their way in to the playoffs. They're going to do that. And Chip Ganassi Racing the team averages on RCR and Chip Ganassi average of 10th. Well, French Oil Racing average of 5th and could have won the race last year if not for a mistake. But, hey, man, it's go time for these guys, man. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, you know, you don't want to be 16. I mean, again, going back to listening to NASCAR America this week, you know, you do not want to be that 16th guy because we get a crazy-ass race, Southern 500 or an Indy. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy being out and then somebody like random or Casey Kane or somebody like that goes out there and win the race. You can't expect that. Oh, I mean, we've seen it all last year, but I highly doubt. We'll have to see what happens next week or this week actually. So, favorite paint schemes for this week. Chase Elliott is one of those guys for running the Napa scheme this week. And also ran across, of course, Derek Cope's Bojangles paint scheme looks good also. And then another one that caught my attention, that's Chris Buescher as well with the old 37 look as well. So that has to be one of the, if not one of the more good-looking paint schemes. And then, of course, William Byron as well getting the job done as well. So, a lot to go through in this one. But, I mean, those are the paint schemes I actually went over. But Buescher's my honorable mention on this one. So, Byron, Derek Cope was actually in the final four in the NASCAR.com final four. So there's that as well. And then you turn around and look at Byron as well. So definitely look at that going forward as well. So I got Buescher honorable mention, and then Cope, Byron, and Hendrick Motorsports doing it right the way that it should have. Three wild EG, three rows on. And, you know, dark horse in this race. So, my dark horse in this race, oh, man. Let's just see here. Not looking at the averages this year. Obviously, Denny Hamlin, you know, these guys. I got, you know, from what I talked about in this thing, Ryan Newman and all this other stuff, you know, I'm just gonna put that out there and say Ryan Newman will be my dark horse this weekend. For all what I just said, Newman will be the sleeper pick and my winner to win this thing. Oh man, that's the question in this case. Can Denny Hamlin execute and all this other stuff? I might have to roll homie on this one also. I got to go with Truex on this. Also, if I take off my Truex hat here, I'm going to go with another homer also. I'm going to stay homing this week. Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr. I think Martin Truex Jr. needs to start lighting it up here as we get to the and start of the playoffs here. I really think he will get back on the horse here. And I think he'll have a good run here on Sunday night here. So I'm going to stay homie here. And for what I said, Ryan Newman is going to be my dark horse, Big D. So mark that down. So we'll have to see what happens there. And a win from somebody outside the top 16 will really, really change things up. So there is that, my look at Darlington as well. And now, finally, guys, we can talk about, at least for the last few minutes of the podcast, talk about the K-State. But before I get to that, follow me at 3wide_fast. Eddie again at 3wide_fast. Eddie, and again, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. I got it right this time. Audioboom, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and iTunes. If you're a follower of iTunes, if you have not downloaded the podcast, I suggest you do that at some point. Actually, you better be doing that now. And if you have time in hands, if you do want to, please leave a rating or review of the podcast as well. This helps out the podcast, not in the ways that a normal podcast would, but it helps the podcast to get its name out there in the Midwest and beyond. So definitely we've had, like I mentioned, listeners from the West Coast, East Coast, and then some. So it's been definitely been a blast to do this podcast this year and doing it a little bit differently than I normally have. So definitely a shout out to you guys for listening to the podcast, and definitely on cue, join the movement on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. You do not want to miss a big time moment as we're inching closer to the playoffs. And if you're hearing noise in the background, they got some work going on in the basement, so we're going to wrap this thing up here tonight. So that's why noises in the background and getting some holes fixed in the walls. I told you about last week the issue with the foundation, so I'm not going to dive into that. So if you hear noises, that's what people are doing back here late in this podcast. But before we wrap this up real quick, K-State situation, man. In the quarterback situation, I don't know what it is about the quarterbacks. K-State plays, opens at home against South Dakota, and ever since I moved out here or moved to Manhattan, the quarterbacks have all, it doesn't matter what year it is, the quarterbacks has been a total different issue, whether we go this way or go that way, whatever the issue is. And I know Alabama's in an uncharted territory with their quarterback situation due to the halftime of the national championship game. But in our situation, this has been a 4 or 5 year situation, no matter quarterback situation, whether it's Jake Waters, Daniel Sams, or Skylar Thompson, Alex Delton, you know, all this other stuff, you know. You gotta wonder going in, and they want to drag this out into the Big 12 season, all this other stuff, you know. At some point, as a K-State fan, you gotta get sick and tired of hearing that. You want to see one guy, and before I hopped on to do tonight's podcast, we've heard blips here and there that Skylar Thompson could be the starting, could be the guy that Bill Snyder rolls out on Saturday night. So, you know, it is not, you know, who's going to, I mean, South Dakota and Texas, University of Texas, San Antonio, those games ain't going to matter as much. Yeah, they should win them, but you're talking about Mississippi State coming next week, and there's still uncertainty of who's going to take all the snaps. So, again, I mean, we saw both quarterbacks last year. I mean, Skylar Thompson had a great game and then struggled a little bit, and then Alex Delton got hurt. You know, these quarterbacks got hurt. Jesse Ertz got hurt and went down to a 4-string quarterback at one point one of the years. So, who knows what the hell is going to happen with this quarterback situation. But all I know is hopefully it's sooner than later when we get some recommendation or some clarity of who's going to be the quarterback for the K-State Wildcats solely, not this back and forth shit about, you know, oh, we're going to give this guy snaps and then we're going to bring in this guy, and then next game, oh, we're going to start this guy instead of this guy, we're going to rotate quarterbacks. You know, at some point or another, you know, I love this team. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, this quarterback issue, it hasn't been started this year. It goes all the way back, really, until I came to the scene at K-State that, you know, we haven't signed a quarterback. We still haven't signed a quarterback, so whatever. Hopefully, you know, we'll see. Somebody's going to do something to get catch the eye of Bill Snyder. Who it is, I don't know who it's going to be. We'll leave it at that, but the main thing is you got to come out and win games. You know, this new coaching staff talking about, you know, we need to be better and all this other stuff. Well, we definitely, as K-State Nation, Wildcat Nation, EMO Nation, we want to see that. So we'll see what happens about that. All right, Big D, we're going to Darlington this weekend. I'm going out of town this weekend also. We got work going on in the background. Let's wrap this thing up, folks. Boys and girls, that's a wrap for another edition of the Three Wild NASCAR EG3 podcast here. Now I'm going to go switch gears a little bit. Oh, there we go. So now, got noise in the background. Sorry, folks. Apologize for the noise behind us here. I was not informed about this situation, but I'll definitely be talking with her about that. But anyways, thank you guys for listening to tonight's Darlington preview show on a 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We moved in here for the last minute, so we're wrapping this thing up. Please, folks, check out the latest episodes this week of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, post-race podcast. We did a double this week of the front pit road edition of the podcast. And, of course, listen to the preview show. We rambled on long enough about Truex, K-State, and Darlington, and all that other good fun stuff. So definitely check us out this weekend. Get your tailgate on and let us be part of that tailgate this weekend as Throwback Weekend is upon us. And I'll post this preview show tomorrow night. So definitely be on the lookout for that if you're already not listening to it already. So please spread the word about the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Big D, it's been an honor. Let's check out this noise. And yeah, it's dinner time, man, over here. So let's put this a wrap. Folks, thank you for tuning into the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. And next time we'll be talking to you will be Monday night for the reaction of the Southern 500 and Darlington weekend. We can't wait to talk to you guys again. Up until now, Big D, let's roll out to Darlington and let's roll out to Labor Day weekend. Enjoy Labor Day weekend. Thanks for listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We out.